The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Lord's Day, this Sunday, the Lord's Day, the 26th day of December, 2021. And we have a whole lot to cover tonight, so we're going to get right to it. But first I want to say my good friend Dan Schaefer, who we've been praying for, went home to be with the Lord yesterday morning, Christmas Day early, Christmas Day. And so let's pray for the Lord will be a comfort to his family. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to hold up Laura and the kids and ask, Lord, that you would be a comfort to them at this time. As we know, with Dan's passing, it's heaven's gain and it's our loss. But we thank you for every blessing, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that he knew that he would be there with you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message was, When They Say, We Say. When They Say, We Say. Folks, it is up to us to... We've got to get the message across to our young people. They have been so very dumbed down. For almost 50 years now, I've been on this radio telling people, please, you need to keep your children out of the public school system, keep them out of the public universities. They've become great gates of hell. Even as Martin Luther had said back in the 1500s, he said, unless God's word, the Bible, reigns paramount in the education, they will become great gates of hell. That's what's happened. They have done that. They're hotbeds of cultural Marxism, and they have been so dumbed down with political correctness and the woke movement, and you have the snowflakes and all of these other things taking place there. So it is up to us. It is up to you and I. We have to try to reach the young people. They've been mentally damaged severely. And so we have to try to get them straight. And the only way we can do that is with the Word of God. And so tonight I'm going to start out here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So let me just stop there for a minute here. Now, when he's talking about in season and out of season, it means always be ready to preach the gospel, whether you can do it freely or whether it's going to cost you. You know, maybe there'll be some persecution, but be ready to preach it at every opportunity is what he's telling you. And he's telling you that we must reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. And so what is he talking about? When those are out there and they're saying the stupid things that they're saying, the woke terminology, folks, we cannot let, you know, just sit back and roll your eyes and say, oh, they're clueless. No, you've got to let them know. that they're clueless when it comes to the terminology they're using today. Whoever frames the debate wins the debate. And we cannot let this thing, like this critical race theory. The reality is, look, the reality is, well, in one verse, Acts 17:26. In Acts 17:26, it's a very interesting verse here. And let me just turn over there very quickly. I just thought, here, in Acts 17:26, we read this. And hath made of one blood, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And so here, you see, God did that. He made of one blood, meaning this. There's only one race called the human race. Now, that's reality. The reality is there's only one race called human race, but because a lie told long enough and loud enough, repeated over and over and over, this race thing, when there are different denominations, and there's different nationalities, if you will. But folks, there's only one race, human race. And this is the race card, and you need to rebuke them. You need to be ready quickly. When one of these young people make these stupid statements about that's racist, rebuke them. Say, you just lied. And stop lying right now. Just stop it right now. And you ought to see what happens. I know I do that. And when you do that, their eyes get big. It's like, they're not used to this. This does not compute. What do I do now? This wasn't the way I expected to. I was supposed to say this thing and look around, and people were supposed to nod in agreement. No. You don't do that. You stand fast for the truth. And so he says, reprove and rebuke, and then exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That exhorting with long-suffering and doctrine is for them to change their course and start telling the truth. In order to tell the truth, you got to know the truth. And it's right here. The truth can be found right here in God's Word, the Bible. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? The itching ears of these teachers, these false teachers, that want to hear. They want to know whatever it is that you want to hear. Whatever you would be willing to pay for, whatever it would profit them if they tell you what you want to hear. And, you know, if you can, you know, the prosperity preachers know all about this. They know all about this. They will, you know, the Joe Osteens of this world, they know just how perfectly to shake you down. And they always have, very, very gullible. And, you know, he tells you in Proverbs chapter 2, refers to them as simple-minded. The simple-minded. They know how to find the simple-minded, and they know how to shake them down. And, folks, the communists know the same thing. The cultural Marxists, the Antichrist, they know exactly how to find the simple-minded and to get them to follow their sinful, sinful ways. But you need to be armed with the truth, and you need to be stand fast. Then after you've rebuked him for lying, then you need to tell him, exhort him to start telling the truth, learn the truth and tell the truth. He says, they shall turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and my time and my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of them also that love is appearing. So the Apostle Paul knew exactly what he was talking about here. And so you have God's word on that. You have God's word on it. And you want to be able to say, well, I've run a good race. Then you say, well, I thought that was just for preachers. No, no, no. All of us have a command to be obedient to God. And you are, the number one mission is to share the gospel, to share the gospel. But you too, all of you out there listening to me, you need to be ready to be in season and out. And you need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. All of us. That's all of us. And so that's how we start tonight. Now I want to go over again and pick it up in Psalm 106 Psalm. And I'll get there in a minute. I think I'm there. 106 Psalm. Praise you, the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all of his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with a favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy choosing, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt, but remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so that he led them through in his depths, through the wilderness. And so here, again, if we had ever stopped to list all the mighty acts or miracles in the Bible, I think we'd be pretty astounded, really, because they cover every single aspect of our life. I say, so the more we think about what God has done, the more we can appreciate his mercies. Here, Psalm 106 covers events from the Exodus, all the way up to the Babylonian captivity. Now, we often focus more on the evil acts of the enemies of God and his people than we do on the mighty, mighty acts of the Lord himself. His mercies, his miracles, his guidance, his healing, his blessing, and most of all, the precious, precious, precious gift of salvation. In this, the evil day in which we live, God has given some of us discernment to understand the plans of the enemies. We know not, for example, a good example would be, there's some of us that have discernment knowing not to take the poisonous poke. We understood. We knew you cannot trust the government. And when people tell you to take into your body these are bioweapons. These are bioweapons into your body. Those that contain cells from aborted babies, innocent little children. Folks, do not trust anyone. And I'm telling you, don't trust anyone that tells you to take that poisonous poke. Do not trust them. Now, here, God has protected some of us with this discernment. Others don't have that discernment. But they would if they would continue to study and pray and ask the Lord for that wisdom. God will give all men wisdom liberally if they petition him for it. Now, I want to go over to Genesis chapter 9. When they say a woman has a right to kill her baby, when they say a woman has a right to kill her baby, folks, well, they call it abortion today, and it's the same thing, a woman is killing her baby. And we don't want to use the word fetus. We don't want to use the word product of conception. That's the language of illusion that the enemy says that they will win with a war of words. They will come up with new terminology. They will use terminology that will make the most evil, ungodly, unclean acts of the wicked palatable by changing the terminology that you use. I mean, nobody wants to kill a baby, right? We just terminate a pregnancy. These are evil people, and these are evil words, very, very evil. And that's and when I say evil, I mean evil. Today, it's not, you know, you have, oh, the prissy preachers. They want to be so cute and so sweet. They've forgotten how to preach the Word of God, heaven sweet and hell hot. And, of course, you can't expect the fake news media, the lamestream news media, and all of them I'm referring to use the words of truth, to use the words right from God's Word, the Bible, to call evil, evil, and to call good, good. You can't expect that to come from the wicked media out there, the fake news media, because they are evil. And here now I want to go over to Genesis chapter 9, and they tell you, well, it's okay to kill a child. We'll just call it abortion, or we'll call it terminating a pregnancy. But we'll even go so far as to say that the baby is not alive, you see. You can't kill something that's not alive, folks. But, of course, that's beyond, you know, you're not supposed to even think about that with political correctness and the woke, the unclean woke movement. Now, here's what we read. In verse 6, we read this. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply, and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. Now, when you transgress God's dominion by shedding innocent blood, you violate two of God's laws. One, murder. The killing of the baby is murder. And that's the sin of commission. And failure, you see, the very first command that God gave mankind was to be fruitful and to multiply. And that's a sin of omission. And, of course, this goes right over the heads of the vast majority of people, and unfortunately, the vast majority of the preachers out there today. I praise the good Lord for those men of God out there that are stout-hearted. And I praise the good Lord that I know a lot of them that are stout-hearted, bold men of God who don't compromise, who know what they mean what they say, and are willing to go to the wall before they'll compromise. Now, I want to go to over here for a minute to Proverbs chapter 6. I'm here. Okay. And in Proverbs chapter 6, when you say, well, I think I just did that. I meant to go over to, in Proverbs 6, when you say a woman has the right to kill her baby, you are also, well, you're a lying tongue, and you're a false witness. And let's read what it says here, starting with verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate, yes, seven are an abomination unto him. So when they, again, say that a woman has a right to an abortion, you say, again, that a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Now here, so when you say a woman has the right to kill her baby, you are a lying tongue. A woman doesn't have a right to kill her baby. Who says she doesn't? God says she does not. God says a woman has no right to kill that child in her womb. God says that. Now, and anyone and everyone who says otherwise is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And you won't find one that's got the guts to come on this program with me, because in the past some did and they won't do it again. You see, because here we go right to God's word. And here's how it works. When you have an argument with God, you lose. God wins. It's that way every time. And so here, now, so not only are you a lying tongue, but you're also a false witness. Here you go, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brother. So what are we talking about? These six things does the Lord hate, and there's seven or an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Okay, so there you go, folks. These things God hates. Now, I want to emphasize that, and I'll tell you why, because you always hear these, the sound bites, the sound clips, the people, they rattle off, and without, you know, thinking somehow that it's really in the Bible when it's not. You often hear them say, and I've heard prissy preachers say, that we are to hate the sin but love the sinner. That the Bible teaches that we're to hate the sin and love the sinner. The Bible does not teach that. What the Bible does teach is we are to hate what God hates and love what God loves. That's what the Bible actually teaches. And so, see, it's very important that when you're going to be quoting the Bible, you do it right. You quote the truth. And so here now, when it comes to the killing of a child, folks, that's America's national sin. Why do we have over 100 million dead babies? Well, because we've tolerated it. You don't see it. I fought this my whole life, and it's the murdering of the children. And I've gone against that ungodly court of 1973 that was supreme only in their sin and rebellion. And unless I miss my, what I believe, they're burning in hell right now. See, that's the truth. The truth is important. The truth, those are wicked men. Those are wicked men. They were bought. These wicked men were bought for evil. I want to go over to Jeremiah chapter 2. And here, for example, today, we have in this passage, he's speaking to the people, not necessarily just the women, but he's speaking to the people of Israel. And he's telling them, okay, he's comparing them to female animals, female camels and jackasses that are in heat, that are out there looking to get mate, to have a mate, to get bred, okay? And so he's comparing the people. Now, today, we have, amongst our young women today, it's very common. There's a tremendous amount of whoredom amongst the young women out there today. More than I've ever would have imagined, say, 30, 40 years ago. You would never imagine it would be to this extent, but it is. And here, Jeremiah 2, verse 23. How canst I say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See the way in the valleys now. Know what thou hast done. In other words, he's telling him, you better start telling the truth here. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways. A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind in her pleasure, in her occasion. Who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Well, again, he's comparing that, like I said today, with the young women out there, you know, that have gone a whoring in such a matter. These young girls will actually tell you, well, if a boy takes you out on a date, then you should have sex with him. I mean, this is the result of the public fool system, Hollywood. You know, in Virginia there, they're still battling. The people are still battling to keep pornography out of the school books, the curriculum, and the public schools there in Virginia. That's a sad state of affair. And then he says this. Also in thy skirts, verse 34, is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. In other words, God is telling them, look, I didn't even have to look upon your hearts. I didn't have to. Your own mouths condemned you. And that's exactly what the so-called feminists do today. Their own mouths condemn them of uncleanness. Their own mouths condemn them of whoredom. You got that bunch they call the squat. Those women, their language is vulgar. I mean, they throw profanity around and use the F word. They talk like whores. And, well, that's supposed to be okay. You're not really supposed to say anything about that. Well, guess what? Preachers are supposed to preach the gospel. They're supposed to preach what? Refute, rebuke, and exhort, right? And so that's what we're doing here. Now, when they say that God loves everybody, you say, well, let's go over to Romans 9. And what do you say? Well, you say, no. That's not what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. God's Word, the Bible, does not teach that God loves everybody. God's Word, the Bible, teaches that there's some people that God hates. Let me go to Romans 9, verse 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And so here, again, you have these sound bites. And most of the people, and a lot of the people that attend, especially your neo-evangelical churches, they don't know any difference. They don't really study the Bible. Half of them don't even have real Bibles. Most of them they have perversions of the Bible, so they really don't know what the Word of God teaches. So they believe the preacher up there, and he's not preaching from the Word of God. And so here, when they tell you, don't worry, God loves everybody. There's no hell. God is a loving God. God is not judgmental. Right? How many times have you heard this? Okay, God is tolerant. He accepts you the way he is. No, listen. When it comes to your sin, political correctness, there has never been a man that walked the earth more intolerant and more judgmental of your sin, your violation, your transgressing of his laws than the Lord Jesus. And on Judgment Day, you'll find that out in spades. And so you got to quit preaching that falsehood. You got to quit preaching those lies. And so, and the only remedy for sin is repentance. The only remedy for your sin is repentance. Now, I want to go over to Psalm 5:5. And in Psalm 5:5, as we see here, nope, I guess that's not, I think I wanted, it may have been Proverbs 5:5, let me go there and see. And I'll be there in a minute. Hopefully. I've been doing a lot of preaching today. Okay, I got it. There you go. I got it. There you go. Proverbs. Actually, I think I've got my scripture turned around here, okay? I did. So, in Proverbs 5:5, we read, folks, I must be tired tonight. I've got things going backwards here. All right, I'm going to go over. I know exactly what I'm looking for now. Okay. Psalm 5, I found her. There you go. The thin pages and thick fingers. Psalm 5:5, here's what we read. Thou foolish shall not stand in the sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Right now, what do you hear that sound bite all the time? You always hear God loves everybody. But that's not what the Bible teaches, not at all. Here it says, the foolish shall not stand. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. Now, what is leasing? That means lies. Thou shalt destroy them that speak lies. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. Now, I'm going to go over to Psalm 11. In verses 5 and 6. In Psalm 11, in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Again, you hear that constantly. God loves everybody. That is not what the Bible teaches. Again, let me read this. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. When they tell you God loves, you know, everybody, don't worry about it. You know, I had a woman tell me that she believes in God, and she believes the Bible, but she doesn't believe that there's a hell or a devil. And I said, how in the world can you say that? Obviously, you're not reading the Bible. The Lord Jesus preached more in hell than he did heaven. Well, why would she say that? Well, I can tell you why. She was parroting. She heard somebody else say that, and it might have sounded reasonable to her, so she just parroted, and I explained to her. You know, you gotta stop saying those things. That's not what the Word of God teaches. And you need to repent of that, and you need to read the Word of God and learn the Word of God and then do the Word of God. And so here, again, he says this, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fires, brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Now God loves and tests the righteous. But the wicked, those that are the woke, those that are the woke generation today, those that push the poisonous poke, those that promote abortion, those that promote sodomy, those that promote pedophilia, transgenderism, these things, okay, are an abomination in the sight of God. Now, in the apostate church, they promote these things, and they do it with a smile and tell you how much they love you. Well, if you follow that, you'll spend eternity in hell with those same people. That's what the Word of God teaches. That's what what God's Word teaches. And that's why it's very important that you understand the Word of God. When they say to you, we have accepted same-sex marriage. Now, I've heard some of the apostates out there, these false preachers, saying, you know, this is the tolerance and this is a show of love. No, it's not. It's not a show of love. It's disobedience to God. And disobedience to God is not a show of love. And so when you've heard these people say that, well, we've accepted transgenderism, the crossover thing, let me read you what God's Word, the Bible, says. It's not complicated. No stuttering here. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now, we're talking about a conversation taken by the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They're having a conversation here. And the Father is giving the orders. And he says, and they're going to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, and he has the authority to give humanity, mankind, authority over the environment. He did not give it to the EPA. He did not give it to the New World Order, to any of that, not even to Al Gore. He did not give that. You see, it's God's to decide who to give it to, right? Now here, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. See? God created male and female. See, we're talking about human people now, right? He only created two kinds, male and female. Yeah? Just two genders, male and female. There's none of those trans things. Okay, well, let me tell you. Where do those trans things come from? Well, it's a crossover, is a figment of a reprobate mind. That's what the Word of God teaches. It's a figment of a reprobate mind. Even nature itself tells you that, you know, that these people, these trans things are a freak of nature. They're not for real. You have these boys that wake up one morning and decide, you know, I would really like to go into a girl's shower and fondle them. So I know what I'll do today. I'll feel that I'm a girl today. I'm having a girl day. So in this idiotic society with these lunatics, these politically correct lunatics called Democrats, they'll buy for it. They'll go for it because it's asinine. It's stupid, and that's exactly the kind of thing that these people embrace, okay? They call good evil, they call evil good, okay? Everything that the Democrats do is upside down, inside out, and backwards. Why? Where does that come from? Right from the pit of hell. Whatever God's word the Bible teaches, whatever God's word the Bible teaches, the Antichrist world system will teach in exactly the opposite. That's why it's called anti or opposition to Christ. Now here, even nature itself tells you that the boys are not girls and girls are not boys. Who would have ever thought that we would come to the point in society where people would be confused about whether they're a boy or a girl? He goes on to say, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now you see here, look, again, God tells you over and over, be fruitful and multiply. Give life, not death. You give birth to babies, you don't kill them. See, that's what God says. In this country, boy, I'm going to tell you, because of that wicked, ungodly, evil court, and because the pastors in this country did not have the courage, the pastors did not have the courage to stand up and be bold. Only a handful. I remember going to Washington with 100 pastors. There should have been 10,000. Those pastors had the duty to go to D.C. to put that corrupt, ungodly, corrupt, illegitimate court on trial for treason against God and country. The pastors failed God. And then they didn't even have the courage. And when you confronted them with that failure, they couldn't even keep eye contact. They had to look away. That's how pathetic it is. That should never happen again in America. That should never happen again, ever, ever. When they say to you, why, I'm a transgender, okay, well, we just covered that. But when they say to you, we're going to accept same-sex marriage, well, what do you do? Where do you go from there? Well, right over here to Genesis 2. You see, we're going right to the one that gave us the divine institution of marriage. That's God himself. And so when they say that we're going to accept this, here's what God says. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. Again, here you go, a man and a woman, a man and a woman, right? And brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman. Not a man. Therefore, a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So marriage by definition can only be between a man and a woman. Folks, God says that. So you need to, when these young people talking about, we accept transgender, you say, well, you know, God, who is the ultimate authority, God who cannot lie, God says, by definition only, marriage can only be between a man and a woman. So you are deceiving yourself if you think that's marriage. It's not marriage. Those people in those courts, that court that calls itself supreme, lied. They violated God's law. They lied. And marriage can only be between a man and a woman. That's what God says. And so here, when they say, you must obey a government, even if it's a corrupt government, then you say, well, let's go over to Amos. Let's go over to Amos in chapter 5. And in Amos in chapter 5, we read verses 10 through 15. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Now, the gate is where government is done. It's the seat of government. It's the seat of government. Listen, they hate him that rebuketh. In other words, those that rebuke and do what God's word, the Bible says, the corrupt, in the seat of government. For as much, therefore, as you are treading it is upon the poor, you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink wine of them. Well, like our corrupt government today, where they want to do away with the middle class. They want to have two classes, the very wealthy, Nancy Pelosi, who believes that insider trading should be allowed for those in Congress, that they should be allowed to cheat and violate the law, who believe like Hillary Clinton and the Clinton, just corrupt as corrupt can get, who like Joe Biden, who takes bribes from the Chinese, bought and paid for, billions of dollars. Look, whenever somebody offers $30 million for one of Hunter Biden's paintings, that's a bribe, folks. Those paintings aren't worth $3. Now, here. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, and they take the bribes. You hear that, Joe Biden? You hear that, Joe Biden? And they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. That means the government. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in the time, for it is an evil time. Boy, is it. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and do so the Lord. And the God of hosts shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Hate the evil and love the good, right? What does God's word, the Bible, teach? Hate the evil and love the good. Okay? Does it teach? The Bible says that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. No, it doesn't teach that. It teaches you hate the evil and you love the good. And if that sinner is an unrepentant, wicked, then what do? You hate the evil. That's what it says. I'll read it again. Hate the evil and love the good and establish judgment in the gate, meaning government. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious in a remnant of Joseph. Now, the Democrats hate those of us that expose their corrupt activity. They will attack all that expose the election fraud, the Pelosi insider trading, the Biden taking bribes from China, the depopulation of the masses by the global elite, the killing of the masses by Big Pharma, the FBI deep state dirty cop involvement in January 6th protest, Merrick Garland dirty cop attack on the parents that speak up against critical race theory, trying to protect their children. The promoting of burn, loot, and murder, and the protection of burn, loot, and murder, and Antifa by the communist governors and mayors, and bought and paid for George Soros. George Soros bought and paid for prostitutes, whores, called attorney generals. Are called prosecuting attorneys. They're prostituting. And that's reality. He bought them and he owns them. And they've sold their very souls. They've gone a-whoring for money. So here, when they say, again, that you have to obey a corrupt government, this tells you exactly the opposite. It tells you exactly the opposite. hate the evil and love the good. Establish judgment in the gate, meaning the seat of government. Establish judgment. Justice. And when they say to you that you should accept LGBTQ, that's lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, queers, you say, Romans chapter 1. Here we go. Starting with verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispering, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. That, by the way, folks, implacable means unforgiving. That's what it means, unforgiving. And unmerciful, who knowing that the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, here, sodomy was as widespread, they claim, in Paul's day as it is in ours. It's very, very hard to believe that it was, but this is the claims of many theologians. Many pagan practices encouraged it. Now, God is willing to receive anyone who comes to him in faith, and Christians should love and accept each other, but not accept those that live in a strictly forbidden lifestyle, which God's word, the Bible, calls an abomination. I'm not telling you you're to hate the sodomite. I'm telling you you're to pray for him. But you're to tell them, look, what you're practicing, that is a sin. God's word, God has said that it's an abominable. One of the old Jewish definitions of sodomy. Sodomite was the stench. The stench of rotting flesh in the nostrils of a holy God, folks. That's not a good thing. And you're not to be tolerant of that. No, you are not to be tolerant of that. I don't care what they tell you. God's word, the Bible, teaches just exactly the opposite. By the way, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, those that which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them. I had a woman who used to run many abortion mills years ago, told me, when you hear these women say, personally, I would never have an abortion personally, but I'm not going to judge those that do. She said, that's code. That's code for it. I've had at least one. And this woman knows she was in it. But she did come to repentance. And boy, she had a lot to repent of. And received Christ as a Savior. And now she's outspoken proponent. She's out there trying to close down these bloody abortion mills. And so here, I don't believe that you can accept sodomy and claim to be a saved, born-again Christian. You just can't do it. And you can't practice all of the things that God hates and still love God. Even those, and I've heard these people on television talk about their Christian faith, and yet they accept sodomy. And they'll actually say we have to be tolerant and love them and accept them the way they are. No, we don't. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. No, you're to refute, to rebuke, to reprove, and then you're to encourage them to turn around and go the opposite direction, but you're not to accept that. The Bible says God hates those that commit iniquity. Sodomy and pedophilia, which is rampant. Not only is it rampant in the Democratic Communist Party, but it's also rampant today in the Roman Catholic Church, and it's rampant today in the apostate Protestant Church. And now here, when they say white people are racist, white people, remember, this is the critical race theory. That is what is the Bible says about lying. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters all will have their part in the lake which burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And all liars shall have their part. So the woke Antichrist crowd, they can't tell the truth. It's totally against their sinful nature to tell the truth. And I praise the good Lord that the parents are finally starting to wake up and say, look, we got to get our kids away from that critical race theory, okay? They're teaching our children to hate us for being white. Now, when they say there is no God, and believe me, that's one of the things that they're teaching in the public school system today. There is no God. So what do you teach? So you say, when they say there is no God, here I go. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And so here, those who say that there is no God are either complete fools or aggressively perverse in their actions. Those fools are too stupid to know that it takes a creator, to create a creation. Now, these are the same kooks that say that we'll have no more white Christmas because of global warming. Folks, it's called cycles. We're having weather cycles. And by the way, they probably think that a white Christmas is racism. They probably do think a white Christmas is racism. Anyhow, we're out of time for tonight. And so as we get to this point every night at this time, I want to say I hope that all of you had the best Christmas ever. And until tomorrow, good night, as we always say. God bless. And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.